I thought about sitting there for a minute and then acting surprised when I found out it was my turn. It'll happen. I mean, one of these days. Thank you for being gracious with me in the midst of my whatever I am. Yeah. So we are picking up in Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 2 through 9. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word. We pray that you would do that this morning, that you would be opening up our ears and our hearts to what you have to teach us. Mold us, make us, inspire us, send us out. Thank you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So as we've been walking through the Beatitudes, we've been recognizing that in many ways the Beatitudes are all about this change in heart, the change in direction, the change in our message. That we have been recognizing that the Beatitudes are really a wonderful framework, not only for Christian life, but for loving our neighbors and interacting in our neighborhoods. As we reach this beatitude of being a peacemaker, peacemaking is hard. And it seems like right now we live in a world where there's all sorts of conflict. What would it look like if rather than fight, we found ways to make peace? I am a conflict avoider. I don't like conflict. I really don't. It stresses me out. And if I'm being honest, it frequently makes me angry. It just does. I think, well, how in the world could somebody be as foolish as that? But it makes me angry, and so I try to avoid it with a passion. It's why I try to avoid social media a lot of the time, is because it makes me mad. Why in the world would somebody say something like that or post something like that? Or I can't believe they believe that. And so I avoid conflict as much as possible, and yet there is some type of conflict in my house every day. I mean, whether it is over a toy or me forgetting to take out the trash again. Drew forgetting something. If you think it's too challenging having me as your pastor, try being my wife. Pray for her. And so conflict shows up in my life every day. And there are some days where, like, the boys are fighting. I'm like, let's see how this is going to turn out. I'm tempted to think that, just to see, let's let it go. see who wins. But ultimately, it becomes my job to be a conflict resolver or a peacemaker in my house. And the reality is that every house, to some measure, has conflict. We are surrounded by people in conflict inside of their houses, inside of their neighborhoods, inside of their communities, their places of work. Our world is full of it. And Jesus calls us here to be peacemakers. And of all of the Beatitudes that we've gotten through so far, I mean, they've been these challenges, and it's like, well, okay, I know Christians are supposed to behave like that, but that's hard. But for me at least, this peacemaking one, it's like, well, that's what I long for. mean, that's what I want. I want peacemaking. I want to feel peace around me. But something that we have to recognize is that, me especially maybe, is that peace goes far beyond avoiding conflict. That peace is about resolving conflict. Jesus' original audience knew very well what it meant to long for peace. They had been underneath the occupation of someone for roughly 1,400 years. You know, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, and on and on and on. And now, the Romans. McKinney writes this. He says, God's people, not unlike us, were convinced that peace would flood their hearts once power did. But with this beatitude, Jesus offers a peace that's powerful in a different way. If meekness is the remix of what it means to be poor in spirit, peacemaking is the doppelganger for righteousness. Psalm 85:10 says this, love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Righteousness and peace are linked. They're tied to one another. They are very intimately connected with one another. Peacemaking is a specific pathway towards righteousness. Putting things right, restoring conflicts and these fractures around us. Jesus calls us to be peacemakers in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in the world. But his peace really is fundamentally different than the type of peace that the world has to offer. And this idea of being peacemakers really begins with us. Because our biggest conflict, our biggest breakup, our biggest relational strain is with our Creator. We have fallen away from Him. And so as we seek to be peacemakers, we need to first seek to find peace with God. You know, our sin creates this conflict between us and God, and it's this struggle. You know, that God, He continuously calls out to us, and He beckons us, and He says, come to me, come to me. Set aside your sin. Draw near to me. He even moves and works to the point where He has conquered sin and death. But our priority needs to be this. Our priority needs to be in right relationship with God. That we need to be in right relationship with Him, and then to bring that type of peace out into the world around us. Jesus' peace is restoring, right-making. It's this reconciling presence. Jesus' peace is a person. It is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus is our peace. He's the only one who can calm the raging storms inside of us. He is the only one who can conquer this sin and shame. He is the only one who can restore this breakup, this separation between us and God. And so likewise and naturally, He's the main ingredient as we seek peace around us. We bring Jesus. Jesus is the one who calms storms. We see in the Gospels that Jesus very literally calms the storm. You know, His disciples are freaking out. And they cry out, and Jesus is like, why are you so worried? I mean, He's just so nonchalant about it. He said, why are you so worried? And, you know, He speaks a few words and the storm calms. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, we know something about storms here in Kansas. We have seen some pretty intense storms. You know, the tree right out front of the church here has borne witness to the power of the wind. You can go out and you can look, it has lost limbs that are the size of trees. We know what storms are like. You know, and I've tried it. I've gone outside and I've said, "Storm, stop." My kids are scared. "Hey, we can't sleep right now, storm. Stop." Hasn't worked yet. But Jesus says, "I can. I can calm the storms of your life. Even right now." And so he offers us to come to him, to allow him to calm the storms of our lives and to provide that hope to our neighbors. That all of this stuff going on, that there's an answer for it, that there's a solution, that there is a future hope. And this is something, we talk about this a lot in the church, this idea of a future hope. You know, one day the world will be restored. One day there won't be sin or pain or death or suffering. And it comes with this question of, but how long? How long? How long do we have to deal with it? How long will I be in the midst of this storm? And Jesus says, "Don't you realize I'm already here? I'm already moving and working in the midst of these storms." And yeah, we're not quite there yet. But I'm here. I'm with you. Peacemaking is this challenging idea. Peacemaking goes beyond unity. Unity is something, I mean, we strive for. We strive to be united with one another. It's something that we pray for in the church, that we would find unity of the believers, and it's a good thing. But peacemaking goes beyond unity in that it seeks to find peace even with the people that you have nothing in common with. That you are able to find peace or move beyond the conflicts, the anger, the difference. The recognizing that we don't have to be, you know, sameness is not a prerequisite for friendship. That sameness is not a prerequisite for friendship. That your neighbor doesn't have to look like you or act like you or believe like you before you are able to love them or treat them with respect or seek peace with them. And seeking peace is not this rolling over and dying mentality. It's not saying, "Oh, I'm just going to forget all of this stuff." But it's finding ways to love. It's finding ways to live with. And not just live with, but enjoy the presence of people that you don't like. People that you don't agree with. People who make you mad. That we step into their lives in a similar way that Jesus steps into ours. You know, if Jesus waited for us to be on the right page before he stepped in and said, I'll be friends with you, I mean, none of us would be friends with Jesus. If Jesus waited for us to be ready or for us to look the way that we were supposed to, sometimes we worry things like, well, you know, if I spend too much time in the world, then maybe I'll be tempted to do those things. Or, you know, if all I ever do is hang out with my non-Christian neighbors, Does that mean that, you know, I'm not going to have anybody pouring into me then? And it all, you know, it all depends on how you go about it. If you go to your neighbors and all you're looking for is the differences, if all you're seeing is the sin, then that's what you're going to be, your attention's going to be drawn to. But if you're going to your neighbors and you're saying, how is this neighbor a reflection of the God who created them? And how can I love that? How can I see God already in them? And yes, it's important to find time to be with other Christians. We have Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and Bible studies for a reason. I encourage spouses to pray with one another for a reason, for families to do things like talk about Jesus together for a reason, because it builds us up. Jesus said to be in the world but not of the world. But sometimes we forget that part of being in the world, that we're supposed to be amongst people who don't agree with us, people who don't think things like that, people who don't believe in Jesus, in order that we might show them what peace looks like. Peace is a person. It's Jesus. And Jesus says, you know what? I want you to look like me. And so we can be peace as a person. We can bring peace with us. Jesus says that blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be children of God. You know, we like to think of ourselves as being important. And yet when we think about the largeness of the universe and who are we to God? Why should He care about us? You know, in the infinite expanse of the universe, in the billions of people who have lived on this planet Earth, why should God care about me? What's so special about me? What have I done? And in the midst of that, God says, you are my child. You are my child. And I will make you special. You mean something in the midst of this universe and the billions of people who have existed because I say so. God gives us the title of being His children. And it comes with those benefits, the benefits of being His children. You know, we have an inheritance, eternal life. But being His children also means that we're supposed to look like we're His kids. And as we seek reconciliation in our neighborhoods, as we seek peacemaking, we begin to look like His children. There are all kinds of opportunities right now to find ways to disagree with our neighbors. All kinds. Everything, you know, from the how long you cut your grass, you know, to the color of your house, to the signs in your front yard, to the car that you drive, to where you work. What if we were able to find ways beyond that? Not to agree, but to love them anyways. To love them and show them that Jesus loves them. And to maybe, you know, trust in this idea that the creator of the universe, who transformed and our hearts has the ability to do that in the hearts of our neighbors as well. And that as we point them towards Jesus, that we trust that he does a pretty good job of doing what he says he's going to do. And as they move closer to Jesus, that Jesus moves and works in their lives, transforming their hearts as well. So friends, go and seek peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I am not always good at this. We are not always good at being peacemakers. Help us. Help us to find peace. Help us to recognize that you are our peace. Help us to be peace to others. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.